like a street fight. Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone, 918 here in the Wake Up Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop alongside him, Kevin Ingram. Going to jump into some Titans. Rhett Bryan will join us coming up about 15 minutes, 9:33. Let's talk some hoops from Blue Ribbon, the star of Blue Ribbon College Basketball Hour. All around good guy. Chris Dortch, what's going on, man?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're good. We talked a lot this morning about Vanderbilt and its failures down the stretch against South Carolina. Let's start there. They led by a dozen points in the second half. It got away, including that 1 5-point possession that Carolina used to tie the game. It's got to be a really frustrating time for Bryce Drew.
Well, I was not at the game, but I did watch it, and they picked a heck of a night for SEC Wired to have a mic on Bryce Drew. And
oh, that's right.
You know, every time out, he was just, you know, like, come on, let's get tough. This is what we've worked on. This is what it's all about. This is what it comes down to. And, you know, I think it's sort of a intangible reason, I guess you could say, but toughness is what it comes down to. I looked, you know, I always try to prepare for your show, as a good guest might do, and I couldn't see. You know, they don't have a ton of, like, what you would call glaring weaknesses. You know, they're not a team that tries to be aggressive defensively at all, like an Auburn, you know, and they're far down the list in turnover percentage and stuff like that. You know, they're not that bad from the free throw line. Typically, for a Vanderbilt team, they're shooting 33%. That's atypically, I meant to say. So there could be that. And then the other thing that stood out like a sore thumb, and not much did, but this did, their average experience is number 305 among 355 in the country at 1.23 years. So it's an inexperienced group. It's a group that hasn't played much together, and that toughness factor can only be learned. And, you know, just look across the state. Tom Crean was on the SEC teleconference the other day talking about Tennessee, and he said you can just sense and feel the mental toughness that this team has. And, you know, Rick Barnes doesn't even think they're there yet. So it's all about toughness and not necessarily physicality. It's between those ears. And you know, you could see that Frank Martin is a guy that demands that from his team, and of course Hassani Gravett hit some big shots, and he's been around for 3 years, so been on a Final Four team. So they've got some guys. Chris Silva's been around. Mike Kotsar's been around. So you know, ultimately it just came down to what team was more experienced and more mentally tough.
Chris, what about the team in Knoxville, Tennessee? They've just been terrific. They can beat you however you want to try to play them. Blew out Arkansas the other night, but to me it was more interesting than anything that Rick Barnes almost seemed like he was unhappy with their effort down the stretch more than he was pleased with the fact that they won the game by almost 20 points.
Yeah, they let up 53 points in the second half, and you know, that for Rick, that's just Rick's an interesting guy. When he got the job, I talked to some Texas beat writers, and you know, beat writers aren't exactly the best. They're not fonts of knowledge if you're talking about X's and O's. But you know, Rick was being criticized for his offense down there, and that is just so incredibly laughable now. If you look at their offense, I'm going to tell you that Tennessee is spoiled watching the rest of college basketball for me this year. Because they're so efficient, number two in the country offensively. They can, like you said, play any way you want. They can slice and dice. They very seldom take bad shots. They try to score in transition, and if they can't get that, they go inside out. And if they can't get that, they try to score from the mid-range. And only then, or only if it's wide open, do they shoot threes. And now they're starting to make those too. This is a crazy offense, guys. I looked it up. They lead in conference games only. They lead all power conference schools in scoring, 91.8. Duke is second at 86.3. And then from there, UCLA leads the Pac-12 at 85.8. But, it's a juggernaut. I mean, it's just, know, they got Lamonte Turner back, and he's back to his old self, had 21 the other night, making threes. That was maybe an Achilles heel you might have seen. And then Jordan Bowden is shooting like crazy in SEC games only. He's actually leading the Vols in scoring, and he's shooting like 60% from the field and over 40 from three. So, you know, it's just everywhere you look, they've got weapons and they've got answers.
Chris Dorch, our guest from Blue Ribbon.
Well, Chris, I'll just ask one question, and that'll be the craziest question you'll ever be asked here in the next 2 weeks. And that is, will we ever see a college player take himself out and not play another game? And I'm saying that in preference to, let's say, Zion Williamson gets injured and tweaks his knee and scares himself out of the number one pick and says, guess what, Coach K, I'm not playing no more this year. Do you see that, foresee that happening at some point in time, whether it's this year or next year, and not an injury, but where a player takes an independent decision that since it's taken out of his hand and he can't go straight from high school to the pros, that he then takes himself out of playing for college?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually more common than you think, mm-hmm. although not with necessarily that high a profile players, but right. There's been several players in recent years that have refused to play in a football bowl game or refused to take part in a postseason basketball tournament that is not the NCAA. But yeah, I could see that. I mean, this is an era where often the head coach is the last person to know about a kid's career plans. You know, he comes complete with a posse and maybe street agents or runners for agents or well-intentioned uncles or what have you, and a lot of people are in this kid's ear, and you know the coach is the last person to advise or be advised, and yeah, I could see that easily happening in terms of protecting the future. I don't know that I blame the kid, but I blame really the culture that we're in. I think it misleads kids to thinking that the NBA is the answer for everybody. It is not.
Right.
And it's a problem.
Chris, what about Kentucky in terms of getting its act together? They've had some good second halves against Vanderbilt and their latest win. But what about them overall?
Well, it's so funny, Mark. They go apoplectic when they lose to Seton Hall. And it's like their fans are some of the most knowledgeable and obviously best anywhere. But they go bonkers, you know, in December every year. And it's like, just sit tight, man. Let the calendar fall to February and let's see what happens. And invariably, a talented team gets better. And, you know, the thing that Cal does, it's not as easy as you might think. The layperson might think, okay, he gets, you know, five-star players every year. That's going to be easy, right? We're going to out-talent everybody. Well, that's not easy. You've got to get them to play together. And sometimes it takes a while. And this year, you know, Ashton Hagans came out of high school early. He should still be a senior in high school. And he started slow, understandably. And you heard some of the pundits say, oh, was he overrated? And now we know the answer. No, he wasn't overrated. Jimmy Dykes called him the best defensive guard in college basketball last night. And he started to score in double figures. He's taking control of the team, and you start there. But then you look at a guy like Nick Richards, who they really need. He had 19 boards against SIU, but he's been playing tight. So at Georgia, in a game where Keldon Johnson, their best player, goes for the goose egg, doesn't score a point, Nick Richards comes in. You know, he only scores four, but he gets seven boards and blocks three shots. You know, Cal would take that every game from that kid. So it's just about people finding their roles, realizing how they mesh together, and just chilling out, just playing. You know, it all started out as a playground game for all of us, and that's how it has to be. The best coaches instill that. Look, it's not a big deal. You know, we're just playing a game here, and once Kentucky kids get that, and they do every year, they're fine.
Chris Dorch, great as always. Looking forward to our show this week.
Me too, buddy. Thanks.
All right. That's Chris Dorch from Blue Ribbon, Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook. Our guest this week, by the way, will be the SEC Network's Dame Bradshaw. We come back, talk some Titans. Rep Ryan from Titans Radio joins us in just a moment. This is 104.5 The Zone. Mark's going to tell us first about our good friends at the Lee Company. Always a number one seed.
All right, let's talk about home generators for a minute. We generally enjoy pleasant weather in Middle Tennessee. However, winter does bring a couple of icy or snowy days that can leave homes without power. Then we have spring and fall storms, which can do the same. And, well, we don't want to imagine a summer day without the air conditioning running. This is where home generators come in and save the day. And with a generator from Lee Company, you can continue to enjoy the comfort of your home, even when the power in your neighborhood goes out. The unit turns on and off on its own while you're at home or away. Call Lee Company at 615-567-1000 or visit them at leecompany.com and ask about their current financing offers for a generator designed to meet your specific home's needs. That's 615-567-1000 or online at leecompany.com. Their team of experts are ready to assist. Lee Company, serving Middle Tennessee families and businesses since 1944. Imagine life better.